You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program, everybody. I'm James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, September the 20th. At least it is here in Memphis. It's already Sunday morning in Scotland, where our first hour's guest, Jonas Daguerre, was calling in, and I want to thank him again for his contributions to tonight's show as he shed light from a citizen of Scotland on what took place on Thursday. We will continue to have Jonas as a guest, a true heavyweight for our people in Northern Europe. And again, folks, I can't stress enough, if you don't know the name, you should. He's doing the work that should be admired and is admired by those who matter, yours truly included. I want to get to some emails now because we receive, you know, listen, it's the wind in our sails, I say it. I woke up this morning at about 6. You know, I sleep about 4 hours a night, right? I got an 8-month pregnant wife. I do the show. It's a full-time job. I got a full-time job on top of that, and we've got a daughter, another on the way. Emails sometimes get backlogged. I woke up this morning at about 6 and spent about 6 hours until about lunchtime answering emails that had piled up, and I still didn't really make a dent, but we did some. And I just want to read a sampling of some of those emails that had come in just since last Saturday. This one from Tampa, Florida. Dear James, Keith, and crew, thanks for keeping hope alive in the unimaginable slow-motion collapse of this formerly great country of ours. We may look back on this period with wistfulness if things degenerate as precipitously as we can imagine. This past weekend's antics in Memphis and the dozens of black-on-white crimes everywhere, including South Africa and Europe, are surely only the opening salvo in an unavoidable conflagration. The political cesspool sheds much light on the real enemies of Western civilization and the ultimate objectives of the cultural Marxists who have increasing political and financial power throughout the European theater. That comes from Gus in Tampa, Florida. Gus, and that was a hail mail letter. You don't get many of those, at least not as many as emails. We still get a lot, but thanks for putting on it and sending it our way. In Tampa, this from Tony in England. Tony, it's great show. I enjoy it. Need the truth being told. Cannot get it in Europe. It was like yours or our call. The truth is illegal here. Tony in England. That comes in from a listener in Canada. He writes, Dear Mr. Edwards, I'm writing you from your neighbor to the north, Canada. I'm a new listener who just several weeks ago came across your show. I have to say that I was hooked from the beginning. As a white male, I find that there are less and less people who have the courage to represent my opinions and beliefs and the intelligence to present them in a way that in no way can be labeled as racist. It seems that political correctness has run amok these days. Having pride in one's culture is acceptable and even encouraged. Unless it happens to be a white European culture, at that point, you are, of course, considered to be a racist. I'm from an Italian background, born in Canada, and proud of my Italian heritage and culture. I consider myself to be your average hardworking and intelligent male and find myself without a voice or place in society. And I'm far from the only one out there who feels this way. I appreciate that you can give me a voice. Prior to finding your show, I was afraid to stand up and freely express my opinions. But the more I listen to your show and the opinions of your other listeners, I know now that I am not alone. That comes from Corrado. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Corrado in Canada. And that, folks, really drives home what the political cesspool's mission has been for these past 10 years. I mean, can you imagine that it's been? Can you believe it that it has been 10 years? Yes, it has. It'll be 10 years next month, by the way, and we're going to ring it in a big way here in Memphis, and I know a lot of you are coming down here to join us for that. But, Corrado, thank you for that email. Thank you for that email. You have no idea how much that means to hear that we're playing such a positive role in the lives of men like you, men who have built this world, and men without which this world would not be, at least as we know it. Here's one from one of our Swedish listeners who was turned on to us by our first hour's featured guest, Jonas Daguerre. Dear James, first I want to thank you and the other members of the Political Cesspool for a great show. It would be a lie to tell you that I have listened to you for a long time, but I do tune in now. Of course, I was introduced to you by Jonas Deguerre and his radio program. What do I want? Listening to your latest broadcast on September the 13th, the story about the mail clerk that was beaten by the mob filled my eyes with tears. He's talking about not the mail clerk, but the person at the Kroger parking lot, thus propelling my thoughts, he continues, from how it was before and comparing it with how it is in Sweden today. The first time I visited the United States was in 1993. I was only 12 years old. It was a typical vacation to Disney World, and I keep that as a fond memory of childhood. But what actually stuck in my mind the most wasn't anything dramatic or sensational, but it was the taxi driver who told us that these were neighborhoods that we shouldn't go. He said, don't go there. It was a forbidden zone, basically, that had never before existed in my life, that inhabitants in a certain area could be dangerous. Well, of course, living in Sweden, this gentleman lived in a racially homogenous area, so there wasn't the dangerous zones. You only get dangerous areas, such as they are, in multicultural nations where diversity runs rampant, such as here in America. This listener continues by writing, the no-go area term was new to me and my parents, although they probably understood what was going on there. Today we have these zones with mob rule, as you've probably seen on television, but I wonder and fear for that day when these kinds of organized attacks on whites will occur in Sweden. We are now only being targeted as mugging victims. When will it become just irrational violence? Well, certainly they already have it in Sweden with in terms of rapes. But this listener concludes by writing, the area with streetlights, with unlit streetlights, became something mythical in my childish eyes, like the dark forest and old tales where there were unnatural beasts roaming, looking for blood to quench their thirst. Well, Thomas, we know what you're talking about, and thank you for the email all the way over there from Sweden. We're working to prevent areas like that where our people are made victims. This email comes in a little closer from home, from Susan in Alabama. She writes, James, your program continues to be an amazing and courageous wake-up call to our sleeping, almost comatose people. Have you heard about the letter to the white race? It's comes from a nationalist group in Ireland, and more, she writes, whites the worldwide seem to be seeing themselves as part of a familial group, a racial group, which has survival instincts and interests that bridge national and political boundaries. This is something unprecedented in her experience, she writes, that Swedes, Australians, Irish, etc., see themselves as part of an extended family, and that is a hopeful sign. Just curious as to what you think of the letter. All the best. Please know that your work is appreciated. That comes from Susan in Alabama. And Susan, thank you for turning me on to that letter. I have not yet read it, but I will, and I'll let you know next week on the program what I think about it. But, folks, that is just a very tiny representative sampling of the feedback and correspondence that has come in this week to the Political Cesspool from people that we are positively impacting all over the world, from Florida, Canada, England, Sweden, Alabama, and, of course, all across the Southland here. We're based in Memphis. Thank you for your feedback, folks. We appreciate it more than you know. We're going to get back to brass tacks after this and talk about our standard fare. Buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Keith Alexander just parking in the lot here of our radio studio, our flagship station here in Memphis, and he'll be joining us for the remainder of the program. His son is getting married, and he was at an engagement party the first hour, which was more than adequately filled by our guest, Jonas DeGere. So as we wait for Keith to join us in the studio, I should remind you that it is now September the 20th, folks, which means there are only, 30 days past September, April, June, and November. All the rest have 31 except for February. And there's the man, listen, all dapper. I'm in my pajamas here at the studio. Keith coming in here in a full suit. We got to get this on video. And your chair's not even ready for you, Keith. You're going to have to go to the green room and pull a chair and bring it in here. I apologize for that. I thought I brought it in here, but I must have forgotten.
No worries, bring it
in. The green room would be down the hall. Nevertheless. 10 days left in September, which means there's only 10 days left in our third quarter fundraising drive, which has gotten off to a dismal start, if I may be frank with you, ladies and gentlemen. And certainly we appreciate all of those loyal listeners who have contributed so far this month to help keep our work viable and on the air. And we know that a lot of you, a lot of our most dedicated listeners, are already planning to join us in Memphis in October at a substantial price tag, traveling to Memphis and so on and so forth. And so that it will probably take away from your giving, and understandably so. But the fact remains, we do need to make our operational budget. We have expenses that come every month, whether the donations do or not. And certainly these quarterly fundraising drives are our life's blood. So if you appreciate the work that we do and the gifts that we make available to you and the encouragement that we give and the information and yes, entertainment that we provide, we hope that you will remember us with your financial considerations, in addition to your prayers and emails, which obviously mean so much, folks. We couldn't do without them. But it all works hand in hand. Money is the mother's milk of politics and of political talk radio shows, as it were. ThePoliticalCesspool.org, you can donate safely and securely tonight. You'll be glad that you did. As I once heard my pastor say in church, don't give until it hurts, give until it feels good, and we'll make you feel good. With the continued work and accomplishments that this show garners on a weekly basis. Keith Alexander, welcome. Let me make sure your mic's turned on, and it is. Welcome to the show. How are you, brother?
Well, I'm all right. Day late and a dollar short as usual, but
Well, we had a big guest the first hour who was staying up till midnight already, so it worked out well.
I was at my oldest son's engagement party in downtown Memphis. So, you know, I apologize, but that was a command performance. Couldn't skip that.
God, family, republic, as it is, and family comes before republic, which means, the political cesspool doesn't even make the list, I guess. But so your priorities are in the right place, my brother. We got a lot to talk about tonight. I know you were out of town last week, hobnobbing down in Oxford, Mississippi, with your fellow alumni there, your fellow rebels at the University of Mississippi for their trouncing.
Fellow black bears right now.
Your fellow, I won't even say that. But listen, we got a lot to talk about. You know, Winston Smith filled in for you last week and did a great job. And one of the things that we spent an hour talking about with Winston was the savage black-on-white mob attack here in Memphis. And we're going to talk about that, too. But before we get to that and a couple of other things, and before we even get close to the third hour tonight, I want to remind people and get Keith's take on this. This is a be about the most we can work in with the remainder of time that we have in this segment, without opening a brand-new can of worms that will take more extensive commentary. The 10-year anniversary, was it 10 years? When did 9/11 happen? Was that
2001.
Oh, that was 13 years ago. Yeah. Well, nevertheless, it was recently an anniversary. I mean, who can say? Hey, it becomes a blur once you get married with children, as I'm sure you can attest, Keith.
Yeah. Yeah. 10 years is like the snap of a finger.
10 years, 13 years, what's the difference? But nevertheless, it was not long ago that we had another anniversary of the 2001 attack of 9/11. The nonprofit Ad Council put out the famous public service announcement, "I am an American," and Michael McGregor writes about this for Radix Journal, one of our popular reads and daily reads. And he writes about this. They had a follow-up to this ad that they released this year, featuring pretty much every possible ethnic group on this continent, all join in declaring that they are, in fact, an American. Michael McGregor contends that the ad is so thoroughly disgusting that when it came out originally in 2001, it made him question what being an American actually meant. America, in his mind, stood, Keith, for being a normal white person who can speak English, maybe even a Christian. Little did he know that it means simply living here. He thought that America was actually a country, not a great big shopping mall. But this commercial truly shows that this country is no longer an actual culture or people. It is simply one big strip mall where any person can be part of. 9/11 spawned more diversity is our strength rhetoric than any other could possibly conjure up. It was, of course, a sham, and our diversity led us back to being this atomized society shortly after the dust settled and people went back to shopping. The other diversity is our strength moment that Michael McGregor remembers from the time, besides this ad, which is featured at our website, by the way, was an episode of the MTV reality show The Real World, where cast members took a break from arguing about who's sleeping with whom to memorialize 9/11. The Real World, of course, is a show that celebrated throwing together diverse individuals into one house and letting the sparks fly. The show was driven by the constant tension between cast members, rarely giving the impression that diversity led to any type of meaningful cohesion. After the 9/11 episode, the cast members quickly went back to being drama queens and bickering over each other's sex lives, showcasing how America quickly reverted to its old divided self after the rubble was cleared. Michael McGregor concludes that while the updated ad that was released just a few days ago claims we are still one 13 years later, that couldn't be further from the truth. A pluribus unum? I think not. Without a real people and culture to go with America, we don't count as a real nation. When a whole host of people with absolutely nothing in common can say that they're an American, that means being an American means nothing beyond a piece of paper. Never forget, we don't live in a real country, but maybe one day we can say we do. Your take on that, Keith?
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the new reality that we live in. This is a manifestation, this ad, of the neocon notion of a creedal nation. A nation has nothing to do with blood or soil, as real nations do. Instead, America is supposed to be this new genus or species of nation, the creedal nation, where all you have to do is ascribe to a particular creed, and regardless of your race, ethnicity, or national origin, you are now a welcome member of this new creedal nation. The problem is they never can even decide upon what creed it is that you have to affirm in order to be a member of the creedal nation. It apparently has been so attenuated now that basically all you have to do to be an American is say that I want to live in a more prosperous society than the one that I originally came from. And therefore, that's all the creed you need, to coin a phrase, in order to be an American. America is unfortunately plagued by political correctness. Of course, all of the Western world is now. And this puts a premium. It's not only okay to let in the wretched refuse of the world, it is a spiritual mandate for which you will gain brownie points for entry into heaven, into the left-wing heaven that they've imagined for us all, in order to, you know, by basically subjecting your fellow residents of the United States, and I, you know, blanch at calling them countrymen, but let's call them countrymen, call them fellow residents of America anyway, and the perfect example of that is the enterovirus and the Ebola virus crises that are upon all of the Western world. What does America do when they find that basically the nations of Sierra Leone and Liberia are going to be decimated by the Ebola virus and may be depopulated totally? Well, we send 3,000 troops over there so they can bring it back to us. We'll talk more about this after these words from our sponsors.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQOnline.com and click on Subscribe Now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQOnline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cofcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, folks, as Keith Alexander enjoys the fruit of the loom here, Keith has this fruit plate that he got from the green room, which is always nicely appointed for us before every live broadcast here, the political cesspool. Our interns do well here at the studio. He's offsetting my diet with this.
Not to mention upsetting James.
Yeah, this atrocity.
You know, this is something, you know, this is almost akin to a pornography for James to watch somebody eating a vegetable plate or a fruit plate.
I'm not even going to touch that one, Keith, but nevertheless. Folks, I want to warn you. I want to warn you, mind you, that in about a minute and a half, I'm going to play something for you so atrocious and so disturbing.
You need a barf bag.
You will probably need a barf bag. Yes, indeed, Keith Alexander. You will need a barf bag. So I'm going to give you about 60 seconds to get it and get it ready before I play a clip for you that's going to just totally repulse you. But before
Rock
I do that, Keith, wrap up your thoughts on the I Am an American ad.
Okay. What I Am an American basically is telling us that we are unfortunate captives on a ship of fools. The ship of state driven by the Obama administration or the Bush administration, quite frankly, it doesn't matter who the captain is. We're headed over the falls, Niagara Falls here, on a ship of fools called the Ship of State of America. And I cannot believe that our response to a plague in another part of the nation, any rational people would quarantine people that were from that place and also prevent newly arrived new Arabistas from coming into the country. Instead, we send our army out to fight the virus. We fight everything except actual armies for other nations now with our armed forces. We fight some nebulous concept of evil like the Ebola virus, for example, with our military. It's beyond absurd, unfortunately, and that's the new world we live in on our ship of fools called the North American continent.
All right, everybody, listen, I'm going to play a clip for you now that's 2.5 minutes long. Now, I entitled it on the politicalcesspool.org's blog this week, Ferguson Kids Lecture White People About Racism. So basically what you have here is a group of kids, presumably from Ferguson, although it wouldn't surprise me in the least if they were straight out of Central Casting. They're letting white people know that they can never do enough or say enough to gain favor with them. And it's in, of course, response to the incident in Ferguson that involved what we consider to be a lawful member of the law enforcement community protecting himself from a savage thug who sought to kill him with his bare hands. Yes, that thug was technically unarmed. Yes, that thug was a teenager. But if someone crushes your orbital socket with his fist, I think you have the right to shoot him. And if he continues to come at you in a threatening manner, you have the right to shoot him, which apparently was the case. We'll see when the evidence is brought forth. But nevertheless, let's listen to this clip now. And I've asked Keith to write down. There's so many flagrant and offensive statements uttered in this 2.5 minute long clip that it's hard to keep up with them all. So Keith actually has a piece of paper and a pen in hand to try to write down most of them. You listen to it, and then we'll
I don't
make
take
sense
shorthand
of it.
Now.
He's going to take shorthand notes. Let's play it now.
Hey, white people.
What's up?
We're kids from Ferguson, Missouri.
You know that little place
where white police shot an unarmed black teen
in the face?
It was a national disgrace. So listen up.
Because we're here to talk to you
about race.
Sometimes white people are like, but is racism still a thing?
Spoiler alert.
Duh.
Yeah.
That because Beyonce is on your playlist and you voted for Obama
doesn't mean that our generation
has seen the end of racist drama.
Racism is not one of those things.
So go away.
If you pretend it doesn't exist.
Like Crocs or Justin Bieber.
All this focus on race makes me uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable?
Driving black.
Fun fact.
When the NYPD stops white people,
they frisk only 8%.
When they stop blacks and Latinos, they frisk 85%.
Oh!
Ooh, what's that smell?
That would be racism.
We just want an equal shot in life.
Not to be shot to death.
It's you people who are making this belt race.
I don't see color.
Really?
Did you know that employers
don't even need to see the color of our skin
for the discrimination to begin?
Resumes with black sounding names.
Like Kamisha and Tyrone.
Are 50% less likely
to be called in for a job interview?
In the exact same resume.
With white sounding names.
But is this injustice?
Surprising.
When 40% are white.
Actually say white people are more hardworking than black people.
You people are just playing the race card.
No one's playing cards. This is not a game.
Complain about this race card BS.
It's just an obvious way
of trivializing
and marginalizing people. So stop.
Some of my best friends are black.
You get a cookie!
Here's a hot tip.
You're not really being a friend.
We try saying racism has reached its end.
Racism is not over, but I'm over racism.
The continued discrimination against black people.
Us white people, we have to erase it. And the first step is to own up and face it. In America, fighting for equal treatment
is not a black thing.
We all have to do our part.
Be the shit, get a shirt. $5 from each shirt goes directly to charities working in communities to fight racism. Band together against racism.
Racism is not over, but I'm over racism.
All right, everybody. So that was this abominable ad. And it's someone from Sweden, no less, commented on our blog, really sick to use kids for this racist video. And that's exactly what it was. Keith, you listened to it. I listened to it. I was writing notes dutifully as you were. Basically, what I took from it was that in the eyes of racist blacks, white people are all racist, period. There's nothing you can do to curry favor with them.
I agree.
What were some of the notes that you took, and what were the things you gathered from
just,
that 2.5 minute
Let me summarize it. You know, let me say I agree with the basic premise here, which is that there's nothing you can do to appease black people into thinking you're not a racist. Ergo, I would conclude that it is foolish to try. In fact, it is incredibly stupid to do that. So consequently, what I would do is claim for white people the same sense of racial solidarity that is not only allowed but actually encouraged in every other racial group. Let's have equal rights with blacks, with Hispanics, with Orientals, with Jews, and have our own sense of racial solidarity. Stop trying to appease black people, because as this video featuring the Cosby kids or something, I guess, tells you, it's futile. So why would you try to do something that is futile? I wouldn't. I won't. In fact, I'm ready for white people to stand up and be counted.
Yeah, Keith, I took from that. Well, first, I agree. To use kids for a message like this, you know, they were saying, you know, you can have Beyonce on your playlist, you can vote for Obama, you can have black friends, but that doesn't mean nothing because you're still a racist. And then, you know, who's focusing on race here? Well, it's obviously these people. And let me tell you something. Yeah, that guy was a teenager. He was a 6'4", 250-pound teenager that was unarmed after he cracked the skull of this cop. Yeah, you can be shot in self-defense after having done something like that. And they mentioned that, you know, if a black person is ever stopped by police or passed over for a job, that racism is the only culprit. Anti-white programs such as affirmative action, quotas, and set-asides haven't even started to make a dent. There's a reason that the New York Police Department pulls over blacks and looks at them more closely. And it's unfortunately because that segment of the community of that state and that city, like most places where they dwell, are responsible for the majority of crimes.
Actually, the numbers are like 70 to 80% of violent crimes are committed by blacks, who are 13% of the population of the United States. So consequently, it's only common sense to put these people high on your list of potential suspects. Insist the police not use common sense in the discharge of their duties. They could not protect us adequately if they didn't. So, you know, the thing is, if you can't accommodate the standards of the larger community, which is non-black, then black people, then black people need to segregate themselves. Because if you're not going to behave, then no one else is required or compelled to put up with your misbehavior. It's that simple.
Let's take Andre from California very quickly before break. Andre, you're on the air.
Hi, James. I just want to say that I've been listening to your show for a decade, and I think you're pretty much a hero for a lot of the people in the Western civilization.
God bless you, brother. Thank you for listening. For 10 years is a long time.
What I want to say, though, I think the biggest issue we kind of have is that the way we look at ourselves is wrong. I don't know if you heard about the Yazidis in Iraq.
Hey, Andre, why don't you hold up right there? I'm sorry, we were coming up right on the commercial break when I brought you on. That's my fault. Stay with us through the commercial break, and we're going to bring you back right after this.
Right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3666. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody, and we're back. And I want to make mention, we are obviously live tonight. I got an email just during that commercial break from a man who has been in talk radio for many, many years. He is a announcer on a sports talk radio network, very prominent. And he has written to us once before, writes again to say that he listens to the show each week. He is hooked on the show. So it just goes to show, listen, it's not people that have always been right-thinking people. Not to say that this man isn't, but we are reaching and impacting people from all walks of life, from the elite to the populist and everywhere in between, which is, you know, where we reside. And it's great to know that this program is having that sort of an impact, as it is on Andre in California, who's been listening to us for 10 years. Andre, the floor is back to you.
Yeah, James, I just wanted to make some points, and I think they're actually crucial for our cause. You always say white Europeans, but I think what you haven't really realized is that there's also white people from Asia. I think a couple of months ago there was a story in Iraq about the Yazidis and how the ISIS members were going out and trying to kidnap all the blonde Aryan girls, and that's the words they said in Iraq. And I think what people don't realize is that Caucasian people have been in Asia as well as Europe, and during the Crusades, our side lost in the Crusade. We had the Byzantine Empire, and that obviously was taken over by the Turks, and parts of other parts of Asia got taken over by the Arabs. But I think the biggest issue is also that we expect political parties to come and to like solve all our problems. Like, we expect the political party to come and like the Scottish National Party to come and save one segment of the white land or whatever. But the problem is like it goes beyond politics, I think. You know, I live in the San Fernando Valley, and most of the white people here act and talk just like everybody else. And they have no racial solidarity for one another. If they see a homeless white person, they drive by them. They don't give them anything. And I think if we're actually going to do something tangible in our lifetimes, we have to change the way we view each other and not just hope, and, like, go on message boards and listen to programs and expect like a savior to come. I think we all have to kind of be our own savior.
Hey, Andre, listen, thank you for the call. You make some great points. You're right. We can't live out our lives online only and making anonymous posts. And listen, I appreciate the comments that we receive and that the comments, you know, any issue that we cover that we may find on any sort of news source online, be it establishment or otherwise, you know, I appreciate all the people who make decent comments in those threads, but we can't live a totally anonymous and online existence only. And in some ways, this rugged individualism that has defined America has hurt us. We view ourselves more as individuals, as a collective group, and no other race does that really but white people. Every other group of people realize that they are part of a larger scheme, and unfortunately whites don't do that as much. And so you bring up some valid points. Let's go to Wes in Idaho if we can, if he's still there. Wes in Idaho, thank you for calling into the political cesspool again.
Yes, James and Keith and the listeners out there in the cesspool, I'd like to offer a little bit of wisdom from 200 years ago, Thomas Jefferson. At the Thomas Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C., I've been there, on the ceiling are these words, quote, "Nothing is more certain than in the Book of Faith than that these people, black, are to be free." That is the end of the quote on the ceiling in Washington, D.C., which is intellectual dishonesty, because the thought they wanted to get across continues hereby, "Nor is it any less certain than that two races equally free cannot live under the same government. Nature, habit, opinion has drawn indelible lines of distinction between them," unquote. That's Thomas Jefferson. That's what should actually be on the ceiling of the Washington a monument to Thomas Jefferson in Washington, D.C. Now I'm looking at a United Nations map of human development, a map of the entire world. Every country that is dominated by mostly white people is first world, whereas the continent of Africa, almost the whole continent is fourth world, some third world. Then go to a map which shows the IQ of people in the world. And actually the Chinese people have a bit higher IQ. However, they're not the ones that create and maintain first world nations. And I'd like to end with the definition of the word Adam under the Hebrew. It is a man that can turn red or ruddy in the face, or blush. The word blush, by the way, you ought to do a word search in the Bible on that. And I present, isn't it only white people that can blush? I mean, we are a distinct people. We create and maintain first world nations. I'll turn it over to you guys. I've had my say. Thank you.
Thank you, Wes. This is Keith Alexander. I'm here. What I would conclude from listening to the Cosby Kids and by listening to Wes is that there's no reason in the world to try to appease blacks, because the gulf is so great between their instincts and their outlook and ours that they're never going to come into confluence. This is really the hidden message of that clip that we just played, that we started out the top of this hour with. And consequently, the only rational conclusion that you can come to is a conclusion that Thomas Jefferson came to, which is that there's no way that the government can serve both the needs of fair play and also treat black people as equals. It's just, it's asking too much of any government. It's not being done successfully anywhere in the world. Whenever there is diversity, diversity rather than being our greatest strength is actually our greatest shortcoming and weakness. Whenever you have diversity, you have conflict. Conflict is not good. Conflict makes life bad. You know, the Harvard sociologist Putnam was able to determine that the more diverse a community, the more withdrawn and less public-spirited the citizens are. It doesn't matter which group, all groups are equally disaffected and alienated from their government and from their community when they are forced to live in diverse circumstances. So why in the world do people continue to act as if diversity is our greatest strength? Why do they mouth that obviously almost Orwellian falsehood, as a watchword? It's never, you know, every city in America that has a majority-minority population is less prosperous than other similar cities that do not have a majority-minority population. When you live in a place like Memphis, that's abundantly clear. You're struggling continually to provide enough money, for example, in the city of Memphis, through tax revenues, to support black public sector employment. Black people love public sector employment. 55% of the adult blacks in the city of Memphis or Shelby County, Tennessee, who are employed by the government. This means they are non-productive. It means that you have this incredible financial burden associated with having these people in control, because their politicians will see to it there are plenty of public sector jobs available for their constituents, regardless of the need to have such jobs. Now, that's just one of many factors that you have to contend with when you live in a situation where you have a more than just a small group of minority group members in your city or community.
When we come back, we're about to go into the break for the end of the second hour. When we come back in our third and final hour, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to revisit a topic that we spent a considerable amount of time last week covering, Winston Smith and I did, and that is a topic that I had intended to work into the mix this hour, but didn't have time for. We wanted to, of course, accommodate our callers, which are always welcome and always valuable. But we're going to get Keith's take on the racially motivated mob attack that took place at a Kroger store, a parking lot here, another black and white mob beating. We'll see what Keith thinks about it when we return, and we'll get into the some scandals involving the NBA and NFL.
Pool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.